We have a dream for the churches of Sussex, a dream firmly based on the teaching of Scripture. Over the last 15 months, a group of ministers have met, Free Church and Anglican, representing churches throughout Sussex, from east and west, north and south. And as we've looked at Scripture and discussed, as we've listened to one another and prayed together, so the vision has become clearer, the dream more vivid. It's a dream we want to share with you today. I've been invited, as you've heard, to explain the overall picture, and then two other leaders of partnership churches talking in more detail about specific aspects of the partnership's work. The dream wells up from many scriptures, and we've heard much of it already from the letter to the Philippians. But it is perhaps encapsulated here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me at just two verses, Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So let's unpack together the dream that is here in Paul's letter, a dream for every church, the dream that has come to us as we sought to catch God's vision for the churches of Sussex. You could explain it in four parts. First, that the churches of Sussex will be speaking and living the truth. We are placed in the 21st century world, a world deeply influenced by postmodernism. And it's one of the foundational tenets of postmodernism that there is no absolute truth, that one man or woman's opinions are as good as the next person's, that one person's morality and lifestyle is as acceptable as anyone else's. But Paul is adamant that the Church of Christ is to be different from that. Would you follow it with me from verse 14? We should no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful cunning. Instead, we speak the truth in love. In this postmodern world, most people are tossed about and blown this way and that by one gust of teaching after another, one TV program or newspaper article after another. And sadly, but understandably, as Paul warned here, this confusion has crept into the church, so that many churchgoers are no longer sure what they believe about God, or Jesus Christ, or other religions, or sexual activity inside and outside marriage, or honesty, or, as another example, about the teaching of RE and what is appropriate. And against this background, described in verse 14, Paul says, we hold to God's truth. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love. Literally, truthing in love. Which means probably two things. First, as the NIV translates it, speaking the truth. That is, believing that there is truth for all time, that God has revealed it in the Bible, and speaking it, both publicly in services and church meetings, and privately, as we talk as Christians among ourselves and to our non-Christian friends. And also, secondly, it means living the truth so that our relationships and our moral lives reflect the demanding teaching and the high standards God has set forth in both the Old and New Testaments. And we as churches hold to the truth of God not in arrogance, but in love. Paul says, verse 15, speaking the truth, or more accurately, truthing in love. In love, not arrogance. Partly because we are supremely aware, or painfully aware, that our hold on truth is only partial, or rather, its hold on us is only partial. We ourselves don't always submit our thinking to Scripture, as we were reminded from Philippians, that we need to think with the mind of Christ, under and led by the Word of God. And we certainly don't live out what we know to be true. That's part of the reason for our humility and love, and partly because we share Christ's love for a world and often for churches that are adrift from him. But our dream is for churches in Sussex that are speaking and living the truth and that are helping each other to do so. Second, for churches that are increasingly subject to Christ. I think that is the meaning of the second part of verse 15. Look at it with me and see if you agree. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Christ is the head, which means the ruler and director of his body, the church. And if we are to grow into Christ as head, that means, I think, that we will be increasingly subject to him, in tune with and obeying his direction. And if so, in this context that we're thinking of today, we as churches will be learning to see Sussex from his perspective. It's easy to see the church or community from our perspective with a narrow vision. Within our church, to be only really concerned with our ministry or group, the children's work or the choir or the women's fellowship. Within a town, to be blinkered and see only our church with its needs and strengths. Within the county, to be interested only in our town. And growing into Christ, into our head, Christ as our head, means seeing this county, it's part of what it means, from Christ's perspective. Seeing where the churches are strong already and where the churches are weak. How to evangelize more effectively. How to reach that elusive group of young adults in their 20s and 30s. In what fields the churches most need training and where there's the opportunity for planting new churches in barren parts of Sussex. And then not only to see the county from his perspective, but to act on his priorities, obeying him in practice as head of the church, putting our human resources and our money, again, as we were reminded from Philippians, where they are most needed, being willing to share our expertise and perhaps sacrifice some of our best people to further Christ's work more effectively. Our dream is for churches in Sussex increasingly subject to Christ as head. And third, for churches each playing their Christ-given part. Verse 16. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In our human bodies, God has intricately and wonderfully made us, with each part of the body fitting perfectly together and every organ and joint supplied so that each part can support the whole. And that is what Christ has done with his church. He has fitted each part together. Now, we're used to applying this verse rightly to the local church. Christ has given each church the people with their gifts which the church needs. With each gifted person, and we're all gifted in one way or another, connecting to and supporting everyone else. But this is equally true as we take the wider view and apply it to the churches in an area. Christ has put us together, each church with different Christ-given gifts and expertise to share with each other and to support each other. And he has given each part specific work to do. That's why this verse ends by saying that the body functions properly as each part does its work. We in All Saints Crowborough, the church I belong to, have learnt from one church in the area about the importance of having a ministry trainee or apprentice, a young man or woman spending a year in ministry experience with us. We've learnt from another church the value of a termly training evening when everyone involved in service in the church comes together to be trained. And we, for our part, have helped a Baptist church think through its involvement with the community and an Anglican church which was wrestling with developing a strategic plan for the next 5 years. And this means that every church is needed as a vital working partner. This is not the Sussex Gospel Fellowship, but the Sussex Gospel Partnership with every church working together, small as well as large. The church I belong to is a large church, and we're learning at the moment from a much smaller church about planning for a week of 24/7 prayer. And it means that every church member is needed to play our essential part. The Sussex Gospel Partnership is not just for the ministers, but for every member of partnership churches. And your part may be to share advice and experience with someone from a nearby partnership church in the same field of service as you, perhaps in your teenage work or your bereavement ministry. It may be you're taking part in a joint evangelistic mission, or it may be in time being sent off by your current church to be part of the nucleus of a new church that is planted. We have a dream of churches in Sussex, each one playing their Christ-given part. And fourth, a dream of churches growing in numbers and maturity. Let me read verse 16 once more. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When Paul says the church builds itself up, he's not saying that our churches can grow without Christ, of course not. But he is saying that if our churches are in Christ and under Christ as head, and if we are working together using our gifts and resources for the common good, then growth will come naturally. God has made the body of a child or an adolescent such that if every organ is functioning properly and working together, that body will grow and mature. We expect it. It's how God has made our bodies. And so it is, says Paul, with us as churches. God has made us in such a way that if we function properly, if we work together as he intends, we will find we are growing. For most of our lifetime, the church in this country has been in decline. But there are some parts of the country, most notably in London, where the churches together are growing. It is part of our vision as a gospel partnership that Sussex should be a county in which the Church of Christ grows again. Not just some individual churches, that's happening already, but the church as a whole in this county. And not just growing numerically. Paul talks about the church building itself up. He probably means also growing in maturity. Through the gospel partnership, as you will hear in a moment, men and women will be trained to understand the Bible more fully and to be better equipped for Christian service. And as we work together, as we are better trained, we will grow in maturity. And again, Paul points out, we will grow not in arrogance, but in love. In the Greek, the last words of verse 16 are these: the whole body grows and upbuilds itself in love. There is no sense in which the partnership churches are setting ourselves up as better than anyone else or more competent. On the contrary, we know we need each other. As we ministers have worked together over these last 15 months, we have found our love for each other, our respect for and trust in each other has grown. And as church members work together on common training courses or in evangelism or in sharing ideas, we expect love between church memberships will grow and the body of the church will be growing in love. So we have a dream for the churches in Sussex, a dream of churches holding to the truth of God in Scripture and helping each other to keep to and proclaim that truth. A dream of churches with a broad and widening vision for the church in this county, because we see the county more and more clearly through the eyes of Christ our head. A dream of churches working together, each contributing our particular strength, and as we do so, growing in numbers, expanding, and also growing in maturity and love. We believe this dream is from God because we find it in the Scriptures in many places, but perhaps especially here in Ephesians 4. And today, at this launch conference, we invite you to work together with us and with one another to fulfill this dream, to make it a reality. I'm not going to pray at this stage. I'm going to hand over straight to David as he tells us more specifically about the training work we envisage.